I've had 8.5, kind of been floating, you know, the 8 to 9 range. Mm-hmm. So we'll make our official predictions next week.
Sure.
It's not going sub 500 for me, I don't think.
Okay.
I think the talent's there. If you're doing that, you're setting them up with lowered expectations, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think this team should win only 7 games. And mm-hmm. I understand Ryan's point. The performance was awful the other night.
Yeah.
But if you just look at the raw material on this roster, it's up to the coaching staff to get it to play up to its potential. You don't tell me this is a much improved roster, a much more talented roster than we've seen on this franchise in years, don't you think?
Yes.
Just if you're going
to position young. It's very young.
How long is that?
I don't know.
How long can that be an excuse?
I'm not trying to make an excuse. I'm just saying history. My biggest complaint with the coaching staff, and again, not being an expert, we've talked about this, but I don't think I've asked Ryan this. I go back to, and I read these things all the time. I was just looking at the Sports Illustrated. I forget who it was, but in an effort to get their best 11 on the field, they're moving so.
I hate that line, by the way.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my question to you would be, who are the best 4 defensive backs on this football team?
Well, Gibson 1.
Yeah.
Ramsey 2.
Okay.
I think Amukamara is going to start week 1 instead of House.
Okay.
I mean, it definitely was that was something on Sunday night that caught my eye.
Uh-huh.
And then the fourth one, I mean, House probably. Okay. So well, it's 3 corners and a safety.
But why don't you play those 4 to start?
That's where I don't. Well, I mean, you could probably do that at different segments of the team, but there you need very specific. I mean, Devon House is not a strong safety.
Oh, Ramsey. But,
right, you're saying
about
play Ramsey a strong safety, which I think, though.
I think that takes away. I think they like him so much as a guy who can cover people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the value of a corner or a free safety is so much higher in today's NFL.
Yeah.
You know, and if he's arguably going to be your best defensive back at a certain point, what point that happens, midway through the season, whatever it happens, and do you want to put that guy, your best guy.
But I got to win.
I understand that. But I think, you know,
I don't want learning curves anymore.
You don't want,
that's no excuse.
You don't want it is your second best corner covering the Mike Evanses of the world and the you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I don't know.
And I know you're a nickel more and blah blah blah, so I understand the 3 right. corner thing. I
hear what you're saying.
I worry.
I think you're hoping for the best, but you're anticipating doom.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a little strong.
That was pointed at Dan.
Let's go with hope for the best. There he goes. Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser weekday mornings, along with Beef and the whole crowd, Jordan DeArmond. They are just fantastic. They call it the drill. It's from 6 to 10 right here on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Hey, we got big thumbs up on O'Halloran's mic today. Are we good on O'Halloran?
Yeah, it's fixed. Apparently the issue's fixed, so we're all good
to
go.
He's booming today. I just
the
feel
people
like
people want to hear from him.
He's got that rich baritone thing going on today. Ryan O'Halloran for the Florida Times Union is here. Fat Tony is along. You just heard Tyler Devitt. I'm Mike Dempsey. Why don't we start it up? Jaguars Today begins right now.
Kaya steps up, delivers over the middle, intercepted by who else but Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see him back over with Telvin and Rashad and play with Dante and just, you know, bring Jacksonville back to the top. I'm so excited.
My feeling is I think he's going to be even a better pro than he was a college player.
With the 5th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Jalen Ramsey. Defensive back, Florida State.
Right after Dallas's pick went in, like no more than a minute later, my phone started ringing. I saw 904 immediately. I picked the phone up so quick, I didn't even let it get through the first ring.
I love my visit there and love spending time with him. And this young defense, you know, is turning up with Telvin and Fowler. He's going to be able to play this year, myself and Prince back there in the secondary. I honestly just cannot wait to play for the Jaguars.
Duval!
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Ryan O'Halloran.
All right, gang is all here. Happy Wednesday to you. Brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter. Jaguars Today on the eve of the all-important fourth preseason game of 2016.
This is when jobs are won, ESPN will be saying, for the next 36 hours.
Yes, they will, because they've got to cover it. They're fine. I'm not blaming them, Ryan. They're gonna put these games on. They're going to charge full price for them. ESPN's got to cover them. I get it. So do we, for that matter. And it does matter. There are jobs to be won and lost, right? The final decision and the composition of the roster is not done. It's just that for the typical fan. Most fans are not in the weeds on, you know, guys number 45 through 53 mm-hmm. on the 53-man roster.
I think what tomorrow night does is like it sort of solidifies. I mean, it's not – I don't know how much of a make or break it is. I ask it every year after they cut down the 53. Who made the team Thursday night? Well, you own really nobody, but they just sort of confirm what we were thinking. And then also is the injury factor. Is,
sure.
Those guys, if anybody gets nicked up, that could impact who makes it. So the only interesting subplot is Atlanta's going to play its starters at the beginning. Maybe one series or two series. That sort of got the Jaguars a little excited is that, okay, their backups will get to at least be challenged a little bit by Atlanta's starters.
We'll get into today the decision to announce. I don't know what else they could have done, Tony, to announce the left side of their offensive line. I mean, unless they wanted competition to continue in practice for another week.
I mean, I suppose you could hold the drama a little bit. I mean, we had Loggeman in yesterday, and yesterday was just a confirmation of Beecham came out of the game. He looks good.
Right.
Right. Like the knee held up fine through the limited reps that he had in that third preseason game. So they feel comfortable with him going forward. I still think there's a major question about how do you get a guy ready that you didn't feel comfortable putting on the field for the first 3 weeks of training camp. You didn't feel comfortable putting him on the field in a live game action scenario until the third week of the preseason, and then you only got him 25 snaps. Mm-hmm. How do you get that guy ready to not be a guy that you're running on and off the field against the Packers? He's our tackle.
Yeah, this may sound crazy, but going into Green Bay, like the bigger concern is left tackle for me because he hasn't played 65 snaps. He hasn't played in the heat. Hasn't practiced a lot in the heat. I think, Jokel at left guard, the one play where he got steamrolled, he had an excuse. Yeah, he clicked heels with Linder.
With Linder.
NBC failed to show that, but you see it on the coach's tape. Other than that, I think he was okay long term. Not sure how it's going to work out there, but from Gus's standpoint is, I like the fact he admitted that it wasn't a competition because of the time element. But even, ideally he would have said, left tackle, you guys are going to battle it out. Left guard, you're going to battle it out. It probably still would have ended up the same, but at least guys would have had more snaps to get comfortable. Whereas right now, it's a roll of the dice to see how these guys can fit.
I get the lack of competition at left tackle because Gus told us months ago, and he's told everybody who was willing to listen, that we've seen the film on Beach and we know what he can do. We don't need to see that much out of him. If he's healthy, he gave the indication he was going to be the guy. Jokel at left guard, to me, is a different story. He hasn't got to play many reps. I don't think he's built like a guard. And I know people are saying it's only a handful of plays, a couple of plays that he really got bulldozed. He got one of them was at left tackle, by the way. It wasn't at guard with Michael Johnson.
Which but that was that play was okay. That's why they're playing him inside.
Maybe. But bottom line is, all it takes is a few plays like that to wreck a game for an offensive lineman. So all this, hey, he's really good on all these except for the three where he got the quarterback killed. I know that's not specific to that instance, but that kind of rhetoric to me doesn't hold a lot of water.
And I think during this whole process over the last 6 weeks, I think that's where they misplayed it. Is two things actually. First, should they have just kept Beecham shut down for the first week or two? They said, well, he had to practice to see where he is at. I think that took a little longer for him to come back after that. And the main thing is to me is they didn't find a way to get Jokel any left guard snaps in a game until the third preseason game. I don't care if it was with the second or third team. I think it probably would have done him good to get him one or two series.
Right. Once Blake comes out, move him inside and put whoever out at the left tackle
spot.
Yeah,
because, and if you say, well, they're worried about him getting injured. Well, you can't worry about that. They don't. They can't.
Right, and I hear you. I mean, there is – you draw a line with seasoned guys that you know what they can do. With guys that are playing new positions, you got to get them reps. So, all right, we'll get into it today. We'll kind of look at some of Ryan's projections for the 53-man roster and, some of the position battles that it may come down to. We'll do that. Look at the offensive line. We'll hear from Gus Bradley coming up today as well as he spoke at yesterday's preseason luncheon, getting ready for the 2016 kickoff on September 11th against the Green Bay Packers. Ryan O'Halloran for the Florida Times Union is here. Fat Tony is here. I'm Mike Dempsey. Question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships is this. Which player that you previously would have thought was a long shot do you now think will make the Jaguars 53-man final roster. You can answer that on Twitter, on Facebook, on the text line, 641-1010, driven by Duval Ford. You can give us a call as well if you want to get in on the conversation at the same number, 641-1010. Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at Ryan O'Halloran. It's Jaguars Today, just kicking off on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL on 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here, starting off early today telling you about Dandy Sandwiches and Subs and great breakfast options as well. Maybe the time for breakfast has passed you by this morning, but plan ahead. Think about it tomorrow. You know what? You could pack that same old boring breakfast and or eat it at home or do whatever you want, but if when you're short on time and you don't want to spend a bunch of money, pop into your local Kangaroo Express or the local Circle K and head right to the Fresh Case and check out the new breakfast sliders from Dandy. Hey, breakfast already in the rearview mirror. What about lunch? They've got the new light wraps for lunch. They're light, but they're absolutely filling and delicious. Dandy uses only the highest quality ingredients. They work with as many local companies as possible, but they never substitute for quality. And the price, it's always right. Breakfast sliders, for instance, get a two-pack for only $3. You're not going to beat that deal anywhere in town. Anytime you're hungry for food on the go, folks, lunchtime, breakfast time, tailgating, you name it, go out and do what I do. Make yours a Dandy. Do it today.
This is the quarterback here, Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Just got to be ready for guard for week one. That's the mindset. You know, I've taken all camp, all offseason, just be the best guard I can be the best tackle I can be. And, you know, I feel like it's been a successful camp and we've done some good things, you know, definitely improved on a lot of things. But, you know, got to be ready to go week one at guard.
Just stay on your feet, man. Just stay on your feet. Come on. Look, I hope Luke Joker plays great. Nobody wants anybody to be the whipping boy, right? And he often has been over the last few years, but
I don't know how, honestly, I don't know how Joker gets out of that.
Being the whipping boy?
Yeah.
He goes out and dominates. I mean, goes out and has a couple of months where you're not calling his name out for, you know, just getting totally physically manhandled two or three times a game.
I feel like there probably was a 3 or 4 game stretch last year where he was doing that. And he's still the whipping boy.
Because he ended the season giving up
five. Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. Jokel, in this city, I don't think he can ever overcome that stigma completely. The first time he gets beat for a play in a game, it's there he is. There he is. That's the Jokel that we all expect to see. Now, maybe. I don't know that that's fair or unfair. That's just part of playing in the NFL. You know, I mean, that's part of it, especially when you weren't ultra successful as the number two overall pick in a draft for the first 3 or 4 years of your career. There's going to be that kind of pressure on you. At this point, I don't know that Jokel can overcome the stigma that the fans have for him, at least a large segment of the fans.
We're going to get to the O-line here in a second with Ryan O'Halloran for the Florida Times-Union. Just want to point out for folks who have expressed interest in being one of the Jaguars Today fantasy leagues, I intend to send out invites on Friday. So if you haven't gotten one yet, doesn't mean you won't get one. I just want to give everyone who is interested enough time to get a submission in. And what you need to do, you can go to my Facebook page or the show's Facebook page, more accurately, Jaguars Today on Facebook, and it's got all the details in there. But it's very simple, actually. Just email MikeD@1010XL.com. Tell us why you deserve a spot in the league, and please include your full name and a phone number where we can reach you in case we're having trouble getting hold of you for the draft or whatever the case may be. It's really that simple, okay? Just try to be creative. There have been some fantastic submissions from Jaguar fans near and far. I'm not going to limit it to just people here in Jacksonville. It's an online league. I will say this. You also need to include whether you're available for Tuesday, Wednesday, or both. Tuesday night's going to be 8 o'clock next week. Wednesday's going to be at 10 o'clock next week. Right now, the way we believe it's going to be set up, Tony, myself, and Tyler will be in each league. David Garrard's going to play with us in the Tuesday league. Lauren Brooks is going to be with us in the Wednesday draft. And then we'll have 8 spots for listeners that will fill up. And we've got more submissions than we need, but I'll continue to accept them over the next couple of days. And by Friday, I intend to send out all the invitations to get that done with.
I've just got a text from somebody who wants to be in the league. It says dirt.
Dirt. Dirt. What was that email address again?
I'm a recruiting guy now for Gridiron now, but I really like to be a fan.
Well, you know, send me an email there.
Well, technically, he is eligible because he is not in the Hacker Fantasy League.
This is true. He's just the commissioner of the Hacker Fantasy League.
Dirt. I don't want to ruin it. I'm a numbers guy. but I don't want to ruin it for everybody.
It's kind of a numbers guy. Well, you know what? It helps to be a numbers guy when you're playing fantasy football, Tony. I don't know if AP gets affected. I don't think you and I were counting on the Minnesota passing game to carry us the fantasy victory this year anyway.
Look, from a Vikings perspective, it's obviously a horrific blow.
Awful.
Right? Yeah, I mean, you lose your starting quarterback. From a fantasy perspective, as I tweeted out to someone yesterday, how will they replace his 14 touchdowns?
Right.
Like, it's just, from that perspective, it's not that big a deal. From a team perspective, you lose your starting quarterback and have to go to Sean Hill. Now it's
right.
Huge.
I don't know how many games Sean Hill won, but I just remember the days he was backing up Stafford. Stafford would get hurt, and Calvin Johnson wouldn't have a big drop-off. Sean Hill would sling it around okay, you know. But again, you know, Bridgewater, I give Bridgewater credit. I mean, he won a bunch of games last year, right? And maybe he is a game manager, but there's room for those kind of quarterbacks in the National Football League, and they can thrive and have some success. Just not the guy I would choose to build my franchise around.
Yeah, and I think it's more of a mental, you know, blow for the team, because, you know, Zimmer last night just looked distraught.
Apparently it was just gruesome.
Yeah,
way it went.
So, like, you know, left knee on a right-handed quarterback. So judging by the reaction of, like, what the players are doing, his kneecap was probably on the other side of the
knee.
Can
you watch those? I can't watch, like, those gruesome injuries that you know are going to be gruesome. I can't watch those replays.
You know, I choose not to watch them 20 times, but
yeah,
maybe once,
and then
I can watch it. Okay. This is what they were talking about. But as a Viking fan since I was 5 years old, I don't think this is the be-all, end-all blow to this team's chances. I would have liked them to account for a better backup quarterback.
Would you try to trade for Mark Sanchez? Is he?
I think he is absolutely terrible.
Terrible. Okay. But he does have experience. Quarterback in teams that have played good defense, which the Vikings do, mm-hmm. and had a strong running game. And
I wouldn't trade for him, let's put it that way, because he'll probably be out there. They had Foles. They expressed interest in Foles before he signed with Kansas City.
Right.
Kansas City obviously is aware of that.
He'd be the starting quarterback right now in Minnesota.
Yeah. It's like, if from the Vikings' perspective, do you act now, or do you see if Sean Hill can get you through the first, you know, get off to a good start?
Right.
So, I mean, they're so good on defense that I think they're still a candidate to win the division. But if Green Bay can walk and chew gum at the same time, which was an issue last year,
mm-hmm.
they're the best team in the division.
All right, let's move off of the NFC North. Let's focus on the AFC South here. Particularly, let's start in on this offensive line. We know who the starting five are. There's no mystery about this anymore. Kelvin Beachum, Luke Joeckel, Brandon Linder, A.J. Cann, and Jeremy Parnell from left to right. Tyler Shatley's on this football team, Ryan O'Hallen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, he's your primary backup center and maybe one of your primary backups, really, along those three interior spots. Josh Wells, what are they going to do with him? Are they going to try to hold him and make him a game day inactive early in the season and ultimately have him be the swing tackle?
That's a question that will gain some conclusions on Friday, because I have him written down with a question mark, and that affects the numbers. Is, you know, if you keep him on the 53, that means you have to keep an extra lineman, because Shatley's not a tackle. Chris Reed's not a tackle.
Are you keeping Omame, though?
That would be my next one in parentheses.
Loggeman thinks he's on the team, right, Tony? I mean, that's what we asked him about yesterday.
Because you have all these backup interior guys. But
Total number they ideally want to keep? Eight or nine?
8 or 9. I usually put 9.
Okay.
It's because based on their track record of 9. And then that means 8 active or 7 active on game day. So
You have let's say Omame is the tackle that they have to keep somebody, right?
Rashad Hill.
Okay.
They got to sell some tickets, man.
You can do that. I'm going to say no. Tyler Shatley.
Got a big family, huh? Rashad Hill.
Josh Wells.
I'll take section 212.
is it Reed versus Bernardo for one spot?
If you put 77 on there, yes, and I think that would be Chris Reed. Although I think Bernardo has come on lately, even though some people tried to run him out of town in the first 2 weeks. He's played better in the games than he did in practice. I'm going to put Bernardo on the roster because I think Chris Reed will go through waivers. You can put him on the practice squad.
Okay.
And because Chris hasn't played a lot with the starters or the second teamers since he got that first game in. So the five starters, then let's go Wells. Your guy, Amamale, so that's 7, and then Shatley and Bernardo.
Shetland. All right, so you got nine there with Reed on the practice squad.
Yes.
You think is how it'll shape up. Yeah. And in terms of, you know, if Kelvin Beachum struggles for whatever reason, has a setback, you move Luke Jokel to the outside, and then what? Would you go Shatley or Bernardo?
I think you'd tell those guys on Wednesday. Next 3 days, you're going to decide who's going to start.
Figure it out, right?
Yeah. You're both gonna compete for
that spot.
You're going to split time. And, chances are, you know, this is going to happen at some point.
Right.
So, because the left tackle here hasn't made it through the season yet under Gus.
And good point. I don't know if that's, just happenstance or what, but we'll find out. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout here. We're going to come back, look at the rest of the offensive side of the roster. It's easy to figure out the frontline guys at the skill positions. What about the back end of the running back and wide receiver cores? What are they going to do with Brandon Allen? How are they going to handle the quarterback position in the final preseason game? We'll get to all that. Ryan O'Halloran here with us. We'll hear from Gus Bradley coming up, as well as the team practicing for their preseason wrap-up against the Atlanta Falcons, actually traveling today. We'll hear what Gus had to say after yesterday's practice. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. If you'd like to get on board, 641-1010, both the phone number and the number for the text line, driven by Duval Ford. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Gus Bradley announced yesterday that Luke Jokel will be the starting left guard and Kelvin Beachum will be the starting left tackle. Gus Bradley said after practice that Luke Jokel wants to stay a tackle but has the right mindset moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, we talked about the chemistry playing next to each other. You know, those things will come. So, you know, I know he feels comfortable at guard. Listen, if you went and asked Luke Jokel, he'd say, I want to play left tackle. You know, that's his mindset. He wants to play left tackle. But he's also got the mindset, I understand and I feel confident at left guard. And I also understand what's best for the team because we've always said we're going to put the best five out there.
Tomorrow, the Jags face the Falcons in the last preseason game of the year. Kickoff is set for 7 p.m. That was your Jaguars Daily brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
This is Alan Hearns, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Yeah, we do. I think that the depth is coming along there. We feel like Shatley really starting to perform pretty well. He had some good plays. We showed him in the team meeting today. So, and Reed, you know, is doing a pretty good job in there, too. So, we got some decisions to make. That's why this game you're going to see a lot of those guys play.
That's Gus Bradley talking about some of the circumstance on the offensive line. We kind of ran through Ryan O'Halloran's projection for who will make the roster on the offensive line here a moment ago. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial plumbing, you name it, septic systems, same day service, weekends included for Metro Rooter. The right people with the right equipment is the reason behind their success, serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area since 1978 and doing it oh so well. MetroRooter.com is where you'll find them on the web. Pretty easy there. And 695-1911, if you have plumbing issues. I've had them. Metro Rooter sells them. It's that easy. They are our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, guys, let's take a look at the wide receiver core for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Seems like there are only two questions. How many? And if it's five, who is the fifth, right? I mean, does that make sense? You know who the top four receivers are on this football team. You got the Allens, you got Marquise Lee, you got Rashad Green. Do they keep six? And we have no way of knowing this because they're probably playing the roster juggling game. Yeah. Does Tony Washington have a shot, Ryan, or is this an Aurelius Ben, Brian Walters straight-up competition?
If it's five, I don't think it's a competition. I think it's Walters no matter what. Because
okay.
of the value he adds on some special teams. If it's six, I don't think it's a competition. I think Aurelius Ben is that guy.
Okay, they both have value on special teams, yeah. But in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ben has made a couple plays covering kicks
mm-hmm.
that really have helped his stock. The biggest thing is he stayed healthy. So
it's been his problem his whole career.
Yeah, so I think it can be massaged easily in terms of five or six is if you just choose to keep four tailbacks. Last year they kept five. On the opening roster and had five throughout the year. So if you keep four tailbacks, you can keep six receivers if you choose.
All right, and if they go four tailbacks, it's Ivory, Yeldon, Denard, and Corey Grant, presume. You think, well, what kind of a chance? I mean, Banyard, I think, is a nice player.
Yeah.
You know, and if you were to lose Ivory or Yeldon, Denard nor Corey Grant, to me, projects as a guy who's an immediate replacement in terms of, like, a potential every down or two-thirds of a rotation back.
And that's where Jonas Gray just...
Absolutely.
Killed himself.
Yeah.
Figuratively.
I mean, look, guy got hurt. He was having a hell of a camp before he got hurt, though.
And I think the question becomes, you know, if you have Ivory and Yeldon, they thought it was so important to have two backs. I don't know that they view it as, if we lose Ivory or Yeldon, we have a backup. It's, if we lose Ivory and Yeldon, then we're looking for a back. I think if one of those guys is out, the other guy's just the guy that week. And there may be some little things that they ask Corey Grant or Denard Robinson to do, but I think that's why they were comfortable letting Gray go. And in the end, it may be why they're comfortable letting Banyard go. I don't think they look at it as either or. It's both or none.
So you think it's a combo of 10 players, though, at those two combined positions?
Yeah, and I'll look at it like if you add tight ends in, it's a, if you add those three together, 15 or 14.
You putting Bauman on the practice squad?
That's right. I got him keeping all five tight ends.
Do you?
Because I have them keeping five receivers.
Okay.
Five plus four, 14 for three running backs.
Gotcha.
Yeah, 14 for three spots. I think just because of the special teams element is they want to keep five tight ends, and also just how much they're running three tight end sets. In case one of those guys are nicked up, they won't. They don't want to have to junk a lot of their run stuff.
How are they going to handle quarterback tomorrow?
I think Brandon Allen starts and plays the entire game. I think Henny only plays if Allen gets injured.
It's interesting because, you know, that's what Tony brought up yesterday as what he thinks the likely scenario is. Jeff Logman said the only problem potentially with that is what if Brandon Allen, you know, catches somebody's eye, right, and you're trying to sneak him through to the practice squad. Are you going to have him on the 53, or are you trying to practice squad this guy?
I think if he's on the 53 no matter what.
You do.
That's why I think they're going to play him the whole
game. Okay, well, if he's on the 53 no matter what, then absolutely you want to get him reps, right? Yeah. Because they envision him, hopefully, then a year from now being the primary backup to Blake Bortles, I would imagine.
Yes, and the only thing that would make them change their mind tomorrow night would be a train wreck. A 8 of 27 where he just doesn't look capable.
Right.
So, and in that case, they could cut him and let him go.
Sixth-round
pick, you don't draft quarterback sixth-round pick and then say cut him.
Sure.
So I think I think from the time the camp started, he was on the 53.
What's been the feedback, either through your own eyes or what you've heard the coaches say about his performance, primarily in practice?
The fact that two things. One, he can throw it. He can throw the whole route tree. And the most impressive thing they think is he's learned the offense quickly. And he had to learn a lot of different offenses at Arkansas. He told me early in the preseason that two things have helped him here. One is he never wore a wristband at Arkansas. Greg Olson doesn't do it here. And then the second thing is a lot of the same verbiage is the same from Jim Chaney, which is obviously a close friend of Olson. So he said that kind of stuff has helped. So they feel like they've seen enough that they want to keep him on the 53.
On the text line driven by Duval Ford, this one from Brian on the south side. Do you guys think there's any trade value with Minnesota for Chad Henne? It would be minimal trade value for Chad Henne. Kind of like a conditional seventh-round pick that could turn into a sixth or maybe a fifth. I mean, I know. Look, you want as many picks as possible, but the scenario of Blake goes down for a month, Henne has played a lot of football. He's not going to be overwhelmed. Not saying he would put a team on his back, but he could help you professionally navigate three or four game stretch that wouldn't cripple your season necessarily if you had to play a sixth round rookie. I think for that reason, it's not worth the fifth round. I don't even know if you'd get that high of a selection, even potentially coming back from Minnesota in a circumstance like that. I don't think Chad Henne's done anything to distinguish himself that would make the Vikings say that's the guy out of all these veterans around that we'd want to go out and grab anyway.
I mean, you'll see the names circulated about. I think they have to go get a veteran because after Hill, they don't have anything
in terms
of experience. But I don't think the Vikings would have any interest in Henne.
Somebody asked, can we add a W to the predictions for the season with Teddy Bridgewater going down with the Vikings being the team that's coming in here? Who knows what they'll look like come December?
Exactly. You know? If it was Vikings at Jaguars in week one,
different story.
Different story.
Right? You feel a lot better about it.
Well, that's
now.
Like the schedule doesn't work out because the first time they face Osweiler is like week 6 or 7.
Right.
And by then, if he's any kind of functional, he's sort of found his traction, and also Watt will be back by then.
True. Yeah, that would have been a good one to open with, right?
And then Kansas City, too. By the time they go to Kansas City, Justin Houston will probably be back.
And Jamal Charles will have rounded back into shape. Saw that report today. He's barely even been working with the first team in Kansas City.
Yeah, and it sounds like Watt's talking at least like he's going to be available week one.
He thinks he is, yeah. My
guess is with that guy, latest would be week two, he's back on the field.
Right. You do get Green Bay with Jordy's first action back, but he'll have been practicing in full for over 2 weeks, and I think he knows that offense pretty well up there. And unfortunately, Al Jazeera America did not submarine. It doesn't look like they were able to submarine Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers.
Try harder.
Come on, man. You know, and I know there are people out there going, I want to play everyone at their best.
Could I start a news organization right now and accuse Aaron Rodgers of taking steroids and then remove the report and somehow, some way, get him just sidelined for the first week of the season because he hasn't talked to Goodell yet? Is that a possibility?
Possible. We'd take that.
Sure, I've tried that already.
Just make it up.
This one on the text line, I understand what he can provide, talking about Marquise Lee, but he hasn't yet. So why is Marquise Lee ahead of Green on the depth chart, just asking?
Well, I don't think he may not be.
He may not be, but I think the preseason indicates to me the way they used him that he likely is.
Well, it all depends on where they feel comfortable playing him. In terms of if he's on the field, is it because Hearns is getting a snap or two off, or is it because Hearns is in the slot? I think with Rashad Green, I think they're saving some stuff there because they sort of know what they can do. They needed Marquise out there to show what he can do.
It could be a case of between the 20s, you have Marquise Lee on the outside and Allen Hurns moving in the slot. And when you get into the red zone, Rashad Green goes into the slot and you leave Allen Hurns on the outside.
Yeah, and I get that question a lot, probably like you guys do. Well, what's the Marquise Lee, Rashad Green thing? First of all, it doesn't really matter because it's number one and two with Hurns and Robinson, and then anything else is sort of a bonus. And both those guys are going to play snaps. They're not going to get a ton of catches. They're not going to get a ton of opportunities. What they do is they have to capitalize when they do because they're going to get a lot of man coverage.
Absolutely. Right. And that's a big thing, having them both available on game day, which you rarely had.
But with Lee, you're just like, it's gotten to the point now where I'm not waiting for the next injury. I'm just waiting for the first play, like the downfield stuff.
Right.
You know, so that's. You know, we've turned a corner in terms of watching him, knock on wood, that he's going to make it to Green Bay in one piece. Now it's okay, can he stretch the field like they always say he can?
And I think they just look at what they feel he was when they drafted him and his potential, and that's a lot of the game. Why is a certain guy playing? Because they feel that he will be the better player, right? And, Blitnikoff Award winner. Rashad Green is an outstanding player in college as well, but where'd they get him? In the fifth round last year, he kept sliding, right? Was it a fifth round selection they used on him or a fourth?
Who is this?
Rashad. Fifth, right?
Fifth, yeah.
So, I mean, Marquise Lee, they never even expect him to be there at the high second round for him. They thought he'd be off the board before they selected. So, based on, you know, the draft capital they spent, it kind of indicates they feel like Lee is the better player. I don't think that's a huge surprise, and we'll see if it turns out to go that way. All right, 6-4-1-10-10 if you'd like to get in. We'll take a timeout here, come back. This Dayton football. The Honda drive around the NFL coming up. We'll look on the defensive side of the football. How many defensive linemen is this team going to keep? What are the configurations they're looking at linebacker in the defensive backfield? We'll run through all that with Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union. He's along on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Glad you are as well. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you all week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. It's story time, boys.
All right.
This date in football
history.
Do I get
a nap afterwards?
You can have one right now if you'd like. All right, it's August 31st. Go back to 1895, and the first professional football player named John Brailier, at least that was the story at the time, in the town of Latrobe, Pennsylvania. That's Arnold Palmer's stomping grounds. They established a football team. And just before the start of the season, their quarterback, Eddie Blair, found himself in a scheduling conflict. Seems he played baseball, a two-sport guy. is what he was. But it wasn't about the money because he was not getting paid at the time, Tony. So he had a baseball conflict, so they sought a replacement for them. So they contacted this guy, John Brailier, who had played for some club. He was 17 years old, and he was from Indiana, and they offered him expenses to play for Latrobe. In other words, we'll get you out here. He said he was not particularly anxious to play because he was going to Washington and Jefferson College in a few weeks, and he was afraid an injury would jeopardize his scholarship. So Latrobe offered to pay him to make it worth his while. Finally, they offered him $10 a game plus expenses. They promised him several other games, and they also threw in, quote, some cakes.
That's the best part.
Some cakes. It made him the first openly paid football player. He arrived in Latrobe the night before the game. They practiced under a streetlight the night before. They would go on to win. He kicked two field goals. The final score was 12-0. Brailier was considered the first professional football player and deemed a national icon for many years. But it wasn't until his death in 1960 that evidence proved he was not the first, but just merely the first to openly admit he was paid. William Pudge Heffelfinger of the Allegheny Athletic Association, now considered to be the first professional football player. Oh, yeah. The Chicago All-Star Game, it started on this date in 1934. Any guess as to the final score of the first? Remember, the second one was 5-0.
5-0.
Right? The first one, Tony.
3-2.
Good guess?
3-0, then.
Nothing. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
How did this ever make it out of the first year? Scoreless tie in front of 79,000 people in Chicago.
They weren't done after those 2 years.
Man.
Five points in two years.
I'd ask for a refund.
Something, right?
0-0.
The fans should have been paid $10 and some cakes to go to that game. And famous birthdays for the state. We'll limit it to one. 1983 saw the birth of one Larry Fitzgerald. And since he has made 9 Pro Bowls, been a one-time first-team All-Pro, and he is 33 years young today. Happy birthday to Larry Fitzgerald. The State in Football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry right here on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, if you're in the market for a family dentist, call 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. That was the State in Football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers and wide receiver Antonio Brown apparently restructuring its contract. If it's not already done, it is close to done, with some of that money from 2017 coming to Antonio Brown here in 2016. ESPN Stats and Info, I saw a tweet out a few moments ago that Antonio Brown was scheduled to get $6.25 million in 2016. Rookie wide receiver Will Fuller is getting $6 million this year.
Mm.
Not exactly equal ground for those two guys as far as where they stand in the NFL. So the Steelers trying to take care of the wide receiver. Apparently, it's not going to be an extension. His contract will still be up after the 2017 season. In a pretty horrifying scene yesterday at Minnesota Vikings practice, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater dropped to the ground after trying to plant his feet during a drill and immediately went to grab his knee. The team released a statement last night stating, quote, Teddy suffered a complete tear to his ACL and other structural damage. Fortunately, there appears to be no nerve or arterial damage. Bridgewater will miss all the 2016 season while he recovers from the injury. Sean Hill is the Vikings' current backup quarterback. Teammates of Teddy's were seen slamming helmets to the ground in frustration after Bridgewater fell. The only other sound was the occasional expletive from the players. The Vikings ended practice after the injury. Head coach Mike Zimmer commented after that injury yesterday.
Today is a disappointing day because, you know, the number one thing is Teddy's such a great kid. He's, you know, everybody loves him. They were disappointed, and I didn't think we were going to get much out of practice today. So we'll get back in here tomorrow, and we'll get back to work. We're not going to stick our heads in the sand. We're not going to go tuck our legs. We're not looking for excuses. We're going to go out, and we're going to fight like we always do. We got some great football players on this team, figure out ways to win football games if he's not here, and it's just what we're going to do. You know, it's tough today, but tomorrow the sun's going Hey, my wife passed away 7 years ago, right? It was a tough day. The sun came up the next day. The world kept spinning. People kept going to work. And that's what we're going to do.
Paul Kruger, who was released by the Cleveland Browns earlier this week, has already found a new home. The pass-rushing linebacker has agreed to a deal with the New Orleans Saints. First-year Miami Dolphins head coach Adam Gase is trying to send a message to second-year wide receiver Devontae Parker. Parker has dealt with foot and hamstring injury since being drafted by the Dolphins last year, and new coach Gase is saying that he needs to take better care of himself and do all the little things that it takes to keep yourself available in the National Football League. Quote, sometimes it takes guys more time to learn more than others. Eventually you get tired of being the guy standing on the sideline. I do think he gets a little frustrated. He's been the odd man out all the time. Eventually, he will know how to push through certain kinds of pain, Gase told the Miami Herald. Peyton Manning participated in the roast of Rob Lowe that I think actually happened last week. It'll air on Monday night, Labor Day, so here's a little preview.
But hey, I don't worry about Rob Lowe. He is a workhorse. And heck, man, if they ever stop casting you in sitcoms, just look on the bright side. You tried to take the air out of my retirement announcement so fast, you can probably get a job as Tom Brady's ball boy.
Hey!
So Peyton Manning taking a shot at Tom Brady.
Yeah, he was, because Rob Lowe tweeted out something about Manning's retirement, right? Like he was a breaking news
guy.
You remember?
He was the guy, yeah.
Right, which is a weird kind of deal.
No, it really is.
Manning, by the way, came out and said yesterday, no plans to play, or not playing, right? Because the questions were, hey, Minnesota, a pretty
somebody
good team
hurt,
right there,
yeah.
right? They're going to run. You got AP to hand it off to. Is that it?
We got one more thing
all
here.
Right.
And this one a bit more of a local note. Fred Taylor went on to Twitter this morning, and I think DeRocco just got an article up on ESPN as well. But some of the quotes from Fred Taylor on Twitter this morning said, visited Chicago last week for full ortho exam, took 11 MRIs and 12 x-rays, got results yesterday. Somehow I played career with fractured clavicle, 2 partially torn labrum, 1 in each shoulder. I'm appalled. I was never told this as a player, oversight or BS. I've always gotten a sensation in my shoulders, but I thought it was fatigue. All these years have passed, and now I discover my shoulders jacked. Even through all the injuries and lingering injuries, somehow the league still managed to deny my line of duty benefit 3 times. Seems the neutral doctors were referred to by the league, overlooked the injuries and issues I currently deal with. Nice job, guys. They gave me this stupid nickname, Fragile Freddy, after I had torn my groin off the bone. Somehow it, too, was diagnosed as a minor strain. I didn't complain or make an excuse to the media. I kept smiling, kept my cool, fought back, and finished as a top 15 rusher all time.
I believe, those are true things, except I believe he got that nickname from Lamb prior to the groin muscle tearing off the bone. But regardless, I did not realize working on the Jaguar postgame show was so dangerous to your health, man. Right? He's propping up me and JP for the hour there immediately after the game. So I assume that was like a break that healed on its own over the years, because the clavicle's got to be healed right now.
I would assume.
I can understand that the labrums are still torn, and that's why he gets that sensation. I would think the bone healed, and they probably just found the old fracture in there that he never knew he had at the time. Ugh, my goodness. By the way, Mike Zimmer, it's your life, but I'm not going to compare Teddy Bridgewater's blowing out his knee to my wife passing away.
You know, it's tough today, but tomorrow the sun's going to... Hey, my wife passed away 7 years ago, right? It was a tough day. The sun came up the next day. The world kept spinning. People kept going to work. And that's what we're going to do.
Hey, that's his relationship, whatever the case may be. But, man, way to bring the room down, right? Holy cow. All right. That's Mike Zimmer, 641-1010, if you'd like to get in. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you on 1010XL. And 92.5 FM here on Jaguars today. Let me see if what we got here on the text line, Ryan. What do you think about the Jags? Are they going to be an active player, do you think, on the waiver wire when cutdowns come? You know, the first round of cutdowns are mostly guys that won't be in the National Football League, across the league. But the next group, there's certainly going to be a handful of guys that just missed being on 53-man rosters. Do you think the Jags will be looking, and what particular positions do you think they would be focused on?
I think the only position they would look at is offensive tackle. But teams aren't just going to be cutting third offensive tackles.
We don't know what their evaluation was of Will Beatty when he came in here, but he just signed with the Giants, right? And it looks like he's going to be their backup tackle, their swing tackle for right now. It doesn't look like he has a starting spot, because that was one thing his agent indicated, I think. It was his agent who said, you know, basically he's looking for a place he can maybe come in and compete for that starting job, and didn't feel like that was here. He visited a few places. Did they have – I know they said they were doing due diligence and all that stuff, but do you think they had an interest in signing him? We saw the first reports indicated they offered him a contract. I've never heard any confirmation on that.
Yeah, I was told that wasn't the case.
Okay.
I think it's not a coincidence that 3 days after Kelvin Beachum starts a game, Will Beatty signed somewhere else.
So Will Beatty was sitting back seeing, hey, let's see how that situation plays out.
I believe so, because now he signs with New York. So he's probably saying, okay, I didn't want to have to move and be a backup.
Right.
Now I don't.
That's a good point.
So I think there's I think that's in line with each other, is the Jaguars started Beecham the other night while I was saying, okay, he's ready to go.
I'm sure the tax burden in New York or New Jersey is just the same as it is in the state of Florida. I don't actually know. What do they get taxed? They get taxed in New Jersey? Or they get double dipped?
New Jersey.
Do they?
Yeah.
Because that's where they actually work and they play their games, and that's what they get paid based on is just the gameplay. All right, let's take a look. Let's start on the defensive line here as we've gone through the offense and kind of projecting who's going to make this football team. Stop me when I name a guy who isn't an automatic to make the roster, okay? We got Dante Fowler, we got Malik, we got Roy Miller, we got Jared Odrick, right? Those are some obvious guys. Unique Ngakoue will be here. Avery Jones will be here. Sindarik Marks? Yes. I got a nod from O'Howard and Sindarik Marks. I would agree with that. Sheldon Day? Yes. At worst, you know, he could have maybe been an IR candidate, but did I see back at practice yesterday for Sheldon Day?
Yes.
Right? So
if he can play, Gus said a set number of snaps for him tomorrow night. If he can get through that, then he's on the roster because they couldn't hang on to him. I mean, they probably still want to try to stretch it out a little bit, but I think he'll definitely be on the roster.
They're not going to risk him getting wet. Certainly, Sheldon
Day. No, it would have been IR or roster.
Exactly. Gus talked about this brief comment on Sheldon Day practicing.
He went through practice, so our hopes is that, his big thing will be conditioning. You know, if he does play, how many plays will he get? He'll be on a play count if he plays.
Okay, I'm up to 8 now. What's the total number you're keeping, you think? You keeping 10?
I think you're up to 9.
I'm out.
No, 8.
I got 8 right now.
I got him keeping 10. Those guys.
Tyson Alualu?
Plus Alualu, plus Bennett.
Okay, and Bennett. So Chris Smith, no?
No.
Okay. Tyron Holmes, practice squad?
Yes.
Okay. And that obviously it leaves out everybody else.
Yeah, Richard Ash, probably practice squad.
Richard Ash is, I think he's made some plays. Now, I don't,
He's got 10 tackles. It doesn't matter who you're playing. Competition-wise, 10 tackles.
At that position.
3 games. So
that's a pretty big number. Here's Gus talking about Richard Ash's performance, getting some first-team reps the other day.
He did good. There's a couple times he missed his, got out of his gap responsibility, and there's some runs that, some extended runs. We gave up one explosive run, and that was, I think, it was a quarterback scramble. So the number of explosive runs was good. We just felt like we could have played better. There's a couple times he's out of his gap, but there's a couple times where he showed his ability, his strain, his ability to get off a block and make a play, and his effort really showed up. So for him, it was good. I'm glad we did it.
All right, Richard Ash, you think is ticketed for the practice squad. Now, there's been speculation about Ryan Davis. Would he be counted as a defensive lineman? Would he be counted as a linebacker? We'll get to him and the linebacker core as well as the secondary coming up here in just a minute. Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union here with us as we kind of go through the roster on the eve of the final preseason game and make some projections or at least get an idea of where Ryan thinks it's going to go. When's your final 53 going to be published?
I'll put it on the blog tonight or tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And I'll tweet it out.
So
before the game.
You'll have it out before the game.
Yeah.
And will there be an adjustment that you expect, or do you think, pretty much they know what it's going to be at this point?
I think they know it's going to be.
Barring injury.
Yeah, I mean, I said I'll do it before the game because it's not really going to change.
Gotcha.
So I'll just get it out there.
All right. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Glad you're along with us here on Jaguars today. Again, I can't reiterate it enough. If you want in one of the fantasy leagues, you have to email me at MikeD@1010XL.com. Text line, no good. Twitter, no good. Facebook, no good. It's very simple. MikeD@1010XL.com. Why you deserve a spot in the league, your full name, your phone number, and whether you prefer to draft Tuesday or Wednesday night, or you're available Tuesday or Wednesday night, or both. Tuesday night at 8, Wednesday night at 10 next week. That's about it. Just you got to email that email address, MikeD@1010XL.com. No other way gets you in. And if you leave out any of that stuff, you're not getting in. I just got to have it. Appreciate all the interest in it. And so with that, we've already got more than enough to fill the league, so I'm still trying to keep it open for a couple of days to give a couple stragglers a chance to maybe blow us away with their reasoning for why they deserve a spot in one of the Jaguars Today fantasy leagues. We'll take a timeout here, come back, and take a look at the linebacker core and the defensive backfield. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
We live Jacksonville. We love Jacksonville. We are Jacksonville.
Where do we begin?
1010XL.
I'm Dan Scuda of your Jacksonville Jaguars, and you're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
I thought this was a perfect time to mention our Friday sponsor, Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing, right now. You may have noticed a little precipitation in the air. Storm brewing, coming through. We hope you don't have any roof damage at your house. We hope you don't have any right now. If you want to get checked out now, it's always a good idea to get your roof checked out before storms hit. But if you have any issues whatsoever, Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing, they're on call 24-7, okay? Emergency repairs, they'll work with your insurance company. 287-7756, 287-7756. Keep this in mind. You know, hopefully, you know, a lot of the times these storms that are targeting Jacksonville turn out to be not that big of a deal, but probably going to get a lot of rain, some wind. If you have any issues with your roof, call Bob Roberts at 287-7756, license number CCC056797. Again, that's 24-7, on call, 3 a.m., and you got all of a sudden, you got a tree limb that knocks a hole in your roof. You need somebody who's going to be ready to go at a moment's notice. That's Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, our Friday sponsor here of Jaguars Today. Wednesday is brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter. Reminder, again, I'm going to mention it a couple more times over the next few days and be done with it. Jaguars Today Fantasy Leagues, email Mike D at 1010XL.com. Quick little paragraph, why you deserve a spot in the league, whatever the case. Are you available next Tuesday, Wednesday, or both? You can't be in both leagues, but we're trying to fill them out, so it helps to know your availability. Include your full name and phone number. That's basically all you need there. If you've won anything from 1010XL in the last 30 days, you're not eligible, and that includes a spot in the Hacker Fantasy League. Also, if you want to play against me for a chance at the $50,000 grand prize at the Fantasy Football Online Championship, go to play.scout.com. There's my phone.
That's your
going
phone
off right now. Who's calling me right
is
now?
Is that Hack?
No, John. I'm looking at it. I don't recognize the number, so I'm gonna turn that one down.
Is that
real
someone
quick
trying to get in the fantasy league by calling you? Come on.
Maybe. You'd think they would text. If they were and they have my number, you'd think if their name would pop up. I'd probably know who it was, but that was a party foul on my part right there. Anyway, I tweeted out the link to it. It's $299 entry. League prize is over $2,000. And 50, you have a chance, so you go into a pool with all the playoff teams from all the various leagues for a chance at the grand prize of $50,000. All the info is available at play.scout.com. Go to their draft lobby. You'll see it's set up for next Monday night. We had one on Friday. Already filled it up, so that one's locked out. Next Monday, Labor Day night at 9 p.m. if you want to draft. Yes, I realize there's going to be football on at that point in time. Multitask, people, okay? Let's get to it with Ryan O'Halloran looking at the linebacker core of your Jacksonville Jaguars. We know some of the usual suspects here. Ryan, give me the mortal locks for the Jaguars roster at linebacker.
Posluszny, Telvin Smith, Miles Jack, Dan Scuda. That's where it gets a little interesting. Ryan Davis hasn't really flashed during camp. I'm still going to put him on there because this is not a good pass-rushing team right now. Right.
You get rid of a guy who's had success.
Yeah.
A guy, by the way, who Jaguar fans, Tony, clamored for last year, right? Can we get more Ryan Davis? Can we get more Ryan Davis?
And, you know, right, I've had five linebackers pretty consistent throughout five linebackers. Yeah, maybe Paul Pollard gets in there as a sixth linebacker if you keep one less offensive player. So I'm trying to debate between five or six linebackers. Right
so now. Jordan Tripp would be the
his, forgot him. He's my fifth linebacker. Davis would be my sixth, and I have Pollard on the outside looking in.
Okay,
right
so
now
you're keeping six.
Yes,
is what you're doing. That seemed more reasonable. Five seemed like a low number. Jordan Tripp's got a lot of special teams value to this football team, right? Hayes Pollard, you know, other than not checking in, I don't know what more he could do. You know, I guess they see him maybe Tripp. If you're comparing Tripp and Pollard more of the downhill run stuffing type, and Tripp maybe a little bit better in coverage, fair to say?
And more versatile. He's learned all three positions, but ultimately I think the fact he's on all four special teams would give him the edge.
So you think Pollard doesn't make this football team as of right now?
I'm going to keep him off just to make it interesting.
Okay. Just because you don't want to go 53 for 53.
Yes.
Or you're telling me.
Well, I don't want to have a 54-man roster.
Yeah, gotcha. You want to leave a little room for improvement right there. How are they going to use Miles Jack, Ryan, on opening day? What is the plan? I mean, I know we can't know, but what's your educated guess?
What would surprise me is the clamoring from people who are employed here that he's going to be the starting strong side linebacker. That would be the shocker, because you've given no indication of that.
At least when doors are open, right?
I mean, also privately.
Yeah. Okay, so just in terms of who you talk to.
Yeah. To me, I short answer is don't know.
Okay.
Because they, to me, it wouldn't be their MO to keep things under wraps for a rookie, because they've showed their hand with Ramsey because they feel it's important to get the reps at those spots. Mm-hmm. I think the same would be true for Miles Jack. Right now, I don't see a role for him on week one.
So primary backup in the middle. And what is your nickel linebacker situation looking like right now?
I think in week one, it'll still be Posluszny and Telvin Smith.
And who is most at risk of being usurped out of that duo at some point by Miles Jack?
I think Smith.
You've said that, right? And I think the typical Jaguar fan, Tony, looks at this roster and says, Paul Posluszny can't cover me. I mean, Paul's better than that. You know what I'm saying?
That's... Look, and you saw it again on Sunday night against Cincinnati where Puz was chasing on a couple of different plays. And I think, you know, you mentioned what's the plan going to be for Miles Jack week one when Green Bay gets here, and you say, I've had no indication that the strong side linebacker is going to be where he's playing. Well, if Puz is in the middle and Telvin's on that weak side linebacker spot, I know a lot of fans, when you say that, are saying, why? You know, why wouldn't Miles Jack be the strong side linebacker in that case? Why would they put Dan Scuda or whoever the heck else on the field ahead of Miles Jack in that circumstance? And me, from the outside looking in, I don't particularly understand it either if that's the direction they go. That's their three best linebackers. I think you got to find a way to get them all on the field.
I think they need Miles Jack to make a play tomorrow night to show that he's ready. I mean, they felt he played okay the other night against second and third teamers. But can he do some things against players that he should be better than to sort of say, okay, I'm ready to take the next step?
If he is, though, let's put the strong side, Otto, Lotto, whatever you want to call it today, out of the equation for a moment. And he's the backup middle linebacker. Is the goal, the vision, that get him on the field as the season progresses and dribs and drabs will work him in here or there? Or could he, at some point this year, pass Posluszny? You know what I mean? I mean, or is that something that's more realistic for the beginning of the 2017 season?
Probably beginning of 2017, but you just haven't heard any of that chatter yet. Their opinion of Posluszny is always going to be higher than the opinion of fans.
And I understand that because they feel like he does a lot of intangible stuff for the football team, right? And he's a very effective first and second down run stopper. Had Miles Jack been drafted fifth overall by this team, would it be different?
Yes.
Because the urgency
say,
to...
We got to get something out of that first-round pick. We don't have time to take it slow, would be the thought.
And I do think, you know, you can't, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, man, Miles Jack may not be as big a role early on as we thought, but you do have Jalen Ramsey. So it does mitigate it a little bit. But it's funny how that works. I mean, that's just political at that point in time.
And don't discount the fact that he missed so much time when he wasn't allowed to be here. And he has admitted that himself. He said last week before the Cincinnati game, when I said, you know, do you feel like it's becoming second nature? And he goes, no way.
Still a long way to go. Second nature in terms of calling the defense.
Yeah. Making the adjustment. And because he brought up, he goes, man, I missed a lot of time when I wasn't here. And what they say about Miles is, very smart player, but he excels when he's on the practice field. And they say, run this, this, and this. That's how he absorbs the information. It takes it from the board to the field. So
so he needs those reps.
Yeah, because it's a very instinctual position. Mm-hmm. And so it's they feel like they're at a little bit of a luxury there. They can take it slow.
Okay. So you've got the six linebackers on this squad. Hayes Pollard for now on the outside looking in. Ryan Davis is on. Ryan Tripp is on. And the other four usual suspects that we would expect. All right, now. How many total players do you have in the defensive backfield on your projection right now? Not counting Colvin, because he's...
Yeah, nine. Five corners and four safeties.
Okay, nine in the defensive backfield. Five corners. Devon House, no particular order. Devon House, Jalen Ramsey, Prince Amukamara, Nick Marshall, Dwayne Grotz?
Yeah. Grotz, yes. Because at least for the first 4 weeks, Grotz... I anticipate Grotz being the bonus one with Colvin not counting. You know, who knows with Nick Marshall? Maybe they still believe in him. He hasn't ascended. You know, you haven't seen anything. You know, not good or bad, I guess. But I'm going to keep him on there until I'm wrong, because
you get the sense that whether you've seen it, that they are still invested in his athletic potential.
I think they are invested because it's still a second year player. They feel like they're with the health situation of their secondary right now, they can afford to keep him on.
They're in good shape, right? Yeah. You're not expecting he can be a game day inactive right now, right?
Yes.
All right, safety. Obviously, you got Jonathan Cyprian and Sean Gibson in there. Peyton Thompson would be your primary, and then is it Evans the last man standing? Does Jared Wilson have a chance?
I'm going to go with Wilson.
You are. Okay.
I asked Gus about him yesterday. He said that he's learned both free and strong. I'm looking on the clip sheet here.
Sure.
It was right before the Richard asked question.
Okay.
But it's not on there. I get the sense that they like Wilson a lot, and I think he'd be their fourth safety.
All right. So that would be Josh Evans not making the squad at this point in time. Look, he's been a solid player. Where's Peyton Thompson health-wise right now?
He was kept out of that game as a precaution because they didn't want to risk him getting concussions in back-to-back games.
Mm-hmm. But he's cleared?
He's cleared because he did practice before the Cincinnati game.
Okay, so he should be good to go for opening day.
He should be good for opening day. As for tomorrow night, he may be one of those backups that doesn't play.
And so total on defense, I heard you talking about this yesterday with John Osier on the Franchi show. You have it 25-25 offense defense with the three specialists? Does that sound right?
I think so.
The look on Howard's face right now. Oh my gosh!
Look at this show. Where's the web camera?
Is there any?
The only thing worse is
when we get the occasional caller goes up and goes, and I don't know your guest's name. That guy. That's the only face that rivaled that one that I just saw.
Well, I definitely have 25 on defense.
He's trying to add on the fly, Tony.
5 plus 9.
If you got
14.
Three specialists, then I'd say it's 25.
I would hope, but I'm saying I want to make sure he doesn't have 54
wrong.
Projected to be on this football team.
I think I'm at 54.
You got three because you had three quarterbacks, right?
So 3 plus 5 is 8, plus 9 linemen, 17. 21 is with the running backs, 25. So I'm going to drop a tight end. I'm going to drop
Bowman
drop
in the practice
Bowman.
Squad. Yeah. Is it Bowman or Bowman?
Well, I'll go with Bowman.
I'm going to go with Bowman. I think it's
Bowman. See, it's not even spelled right then.
Why?
It's like a bow and arrow, B-O-W.
Like the bow of a ship, B-O-W. What?
It's going to be
pretty
Bowman.
Sure it's Bowman.
Is it Bowman?
Like 99% sure, yeah.
Are you? Thought I heard Franchi call him. I go on the play-by-play guy. I might be wrong. I'm probably wrong.
Should I call him Bowman?
You know what?
Get him all covered.
Where's the flip card?
I'm going to the flip card, and let's see what we got if he's on the flip card. This should be an easy one, but right? He's not even on the flip card. Actually, you know what? He may be. I'm looking at the Twitter handles. That doesn't help. Let's see if I got anything on the pronunciation guy. This is phenomenal radio.
This is 3 minutes of guys looking at sheets of paper.
Nah, I got nothing.
In the meantime, I did find the Jared Wilson cut that Ryan was looking for.
Well, I'm counting up the new, like, out of this 53, I'm counting the guys who would be new to the roster this year. It would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the tight ends are the same, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 out of 53.
14, so about 40, 39, 40 guys come back. I wonder what the league average is, though, you know? I mean, even for the, like, playoff team.
They always usually say a quarter. Like, even the Super Bowl team turns over a quarter of their roster, which would be...
It seems reasonable, then. Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's too far out of whack. Maybe a little higher, a smidge higher than a quarter, but not crazy. Tyler Devitt, amazing producer that he is, has dug up Gus Bradley's commentary on Jared Wilson. Here's what it was.
Consistent. He's pretty consistent. He's shown consistency on special teams as well. He's a guy that's playing free safety and strong safety. So we have some different rules for both, so they're not, you know, they're very different. And for him to pick it up like he did, he had a couple bad angles in the game. But he's a guy that can learn from it, and you should not see it again. You know, he'll learn from his mistakes quickly.
Pretty
really
confident
in tune to
statement
it.
There.
Yeah. I think Tyler cut out the part where Gus said, great question, Ryan, right at the beginning.
Well, he doesn't need to say that anymore because it's all the time.
He skipped to the meat of the answer right
well,
there.
I prefaced it like, you look at the sheet yesterday, and I wanted to get some stuff for like the early notebook. So I said, hey, can I ask about a couple other young guys? He was like, sure. I said, how about Richard Ash and Jared Wilson? And by, you know, he likes talking about other guys. So I think he always appreciates me asking about
giving the opportunity to talk about some guys don't get mentioned.
Who are playing well. He likes just giving them some attention.
Give them a little recognition. All right, we'll take a time out here. Fan feedback question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships today. Was which player that you previously thought was a long shot do you now expect to make the Jaguars 53-man final roster? Share your thoughts with us on Twitter. We'll check in there at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at Ryan O'Halloran, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. We'll once again check the text line driven by Duval Ford at 641-1010. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Football season just about a week away. That means FanDuel season is on right now. Hey, the week one price is already up. You can go tinker with your lineup at FanDuel.com. Sign up at FanDuel if you're a first-time user by using the promo code Mike. Go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, use my code Mike, and if you do, you know they've got some goodies for you. We look after you, right? Special offer for new users this year. You deposit today, and FanDuel will give you 5 free entries to NFL Beginner Contest. Beginner contests are great because longtime users are not eligible to play in those, and you're not at a disadvantage against the rest of the field. You'll get a free entry every week, 5 weeks in a row. These are 50-50 contests where all you have to do is finish in the top half of the field to win money. Don't forget, use my code Mike. You get 5 free entries, void where prohibited. Hey, folks, look. Teddy Bridgewater goes down with injury. He might not have been in your fantasy team, but you can see that happening in week one. It doesn't happen with weekly fantasy football. New lineup every week. Go to FanDuel.com. Sign up by using the promo code Mike. Get those 5 free entries at FanDuel.com.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Gus Bradley announced yesterday that Luke Joeckel will be the starting left guard and Kelvin Beachum will be the starting left tackle. And some news and notes from practice on Tuesday. Defensive tackle Sheldon Day returned to practice after being out with a back injury since August 4th. We will get to see him play tomorrow against the Falcons. Defensive tackle Roy Miller remained out of practice with a quad injury that has kept him out of the last 2 preseason games. And offensive tackle Josh Wells remained out of practice with a thumb injury. And offensive lineman Luke Bowenko is still out with a hip, and defensive end Jonathan Woodard with Achilles. They both remain on the physically unable to perform list. And again, tomorrow the Jags head to Atlanta to face the Falcons in the last preseason game of the year. Kickoff is set for 7 p.m. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, glad you're along with us here on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We're glad we're one day closer to the start of the real football
thrilled.
Season. No, I'm
fatigued.
Is anyone excited about the prospect of watching the 4th preseason game? I'm sure Hayes Ballard's family is.
Joe Banyard.
Some others like that. Joe Banyard's going to, you know what? You play a little preseason DFS, Tony, a little daily fantasy. Joe Banyard may be your guy this week.
Probably not a bad play this
week. Workload, baby.
I know I'm looking forward to being in a room that has more than one television so that I can watch the Vandy South Carolina game at the same time.
Oh, look at you.
Are
you
going
to subject us to that low-level SEC East tilt?
I will, because it's either that or watch Tennessee Appalachian State. Which would you rather watch?
You're not going to be focused on that Tripp Pillard battle, man. You're unbelievable.
Probably not. I'll probably be in my all-white tomorrow, as Vanderbilt's going to open up in the all-white tomorrow night when they welcome in South Carolina. So
you don't want to see which of Ryan's 54-man projection doesn't make the cut.
That when 54th it's all said and guy, done. Whoever it is, I think he's in trouble. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. When do you fly up tomorrow?
2:30 today, right from here to the airport.
Oh, look at you jetting right out. Probably you want to beat that weather.
I always go up day before, then Hayes is flying up tomorrow morning.
All right.
So
going to hit the town in Atlanta?
No.
I don't understand. Like, I've never been to the varsity, so I can't
really say.
But isn't that just like a burger place?
That's what it looks like in the airport. They have one at the Atlanta airport.
I've seen the one in the airport.
You walk by it, it looks like a McDonald's.
But everyone's like, oh, the varsity. Got to go to the varsity. And I'm like, why?
I had to get a car this time because the last time they were during preseason, Gus's first year, me and Hayes stayed downtown. So we took a cab to the stadium before the game. Perfect. Dropped us off. After the game, it wasn't too late. Could not find a cab.
Really?
And so we walked around the stadium and we asked some homeless guy, hey, where's the subway? And he pointed us to the train. And so we're drenched in sweat walking in the – so by the time we had to take the train, like three stops back to downtown. So I said, let's get a car. We'll drive down to the stadium tomorrow.
Seems reasonable. I did that. I couldn't believe in Foxborough once after the Jags played the Patriots in the playoffs in 2007. Walked around the entire outside of that stadium, couldn't find a taxi.
That's a stadium. Used to be really in the middle of nowhere. Now it's only slightly half civilization. Yeah,
well, to me, it was might as well have been in the middle of nowhere. And I'm asking a cop, and the cop has no idea. Like, yeah. It's amazing how I find this.
Nobody knows anything.
What did I ask you at the Super Bowl this year? What did I text you? How do I get in?
how do you get out?
How do I get out?
Yeah, where's the shuttle buses?
Oh, that's right. Where do the buses
go? I'm like...
Right, you're looking because you're in the media tent, and
I'm still
every person in a jacket that I'm talking, you know, staff or event staff or whatever, no one has a clue.
Because you dashed out of the right way, so I'm still writing, and I'm getting these texts. Where are the buses?
I was ready to go.
Well, then I didn't find out until the next day later why you're in a hurry.
I had to catch a plane. Right, that night I had to get back to San Francisco and then get onto the airport and. I made it. It's all right.
All you had to do was find John Clayton. Like they didn't... He knew everything about the buses.
John who?
John Clayton.
Did he have what is?
Well, he was complaining. I think every single day that we saw him at the Super Bowl, he was not happy about the bus situation.
Very upset with he's giving like the bus driver on the route a hard time. It's like this guy's just been sitting in this bus for 8 hours, John. He has no idea
he's
why.
He's probably flown in from Minnesota. Right. You know, 'cause they do. They bring in extra drivers from all over
drive
the country.
This route. Every day for 10 hours. That poor guy got it from John Clayton.
Let's look at the... Oh, by the way, Carson Tinker, mortal lock, long snapper?
Yes.
I'm just checking with you there. I think we're good on kicker and punter as well. Why don't more centers learn how to long snap? Save a damn roster spot and give themselves a little more job security on top of it, you know?
Interesting question. Jordan Tripp looks to be the backup long snapper.
Is that right?
He practices every day after practice.
No? All right, there you go. Fan feedback question of the day, Tony. We're looking at a long shot, at least someone previously thought to be a long shot who folks think will now make the final 53. What kind of nominees did we get?
Here's what we got from Kyle Benkoyak, the tight end, from Irish Jaguar, Brandon Allen, from Chad, Hayes Pollard III, who definitely splashed there on Sunday Night Football, from Ocho Fisho, Chris Reed, think the Fowler skirmish helped him, from Johnny, Neil Sterling, Dr. Duval said Tyrone Holmes. Another vote for Chris Reed from Stoff. Eric, another vote for Hayes Pollard III, says he'd think he'll make it. Didn't even know who he was before this week. From Jeff, Chris Reed. From Jarrell, Tony Washington, after so many tries, might this be his year? He was my guy last year. I just don't have a good feeling about him this year to make the 53. From Alvaro, Denard Robinson, who maybe a couple weeks ago we were talking about as a guy who may have been on the outside looking in until at least they made the cut with Gray. And from Demetrius, Nick Marshall, Colvin's suspension will grant him another year of development. The potential is there.
Here's some on the Facebook page for Jaguars Today. Josh said, unfortunately, I'm resigned to the fact that the fans' choice for a long shot to make the team is in fact going to make the team. Yes, Luke Jokel, that's you. Jason said Tyrone Holmes. The kid has a great motor. There'll be a spot for him at D-end or outside linebacker. I think that spot will be on the practice squad. We agreed with that. Chris Smith said Joe. Giving him the most preseason snaps may have benefited. Werner being cut certainly helps. Chris Smith has made a few plays along the way. Any chance he surprises us?
They would have to do some roster mechanics, and maybe that would definitely be no Ryan Davis, I would assume.
Yeah, you would think, right?
But, and I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, Chris Smith picked the wrong time to have his best camp. I mean, if he would have had this last year, he would have definitely been
mortal
in the rotation.
Lock. Yeah, sure.
You know, he didn't do anything his first 2 years here, so he was replaced, and he saw the light too late.
Here's a few others. Josh said safety Jared Wilson and guard Chris Reed. You had Reed missing out to Bernardo.
Yeah.
Right? But you do have Wilson.
And Wilson would be my answer to this question.
Correct. D-Rob, a.k.a. Shoelace, said Daniel. Hayes Pollard says Anthony. I'm going to say Hayes Pollard's on the football team. I know you don't have him on right now. I could certainly be wrong about that. Tony went with Grant. I've always thought Corey Grant would make the team, but that's all right. Jared said Josh Johnson over Nick Marshall. Any chance that Josh Johnson, who is, look, against backups, granted, in fact, the guy he picks, or no, not, he, I'm thinking of Pollard. The guy Pollard picked sixth got cut less than 24 hours later, but Josh Johnson picked six, sacked the next week. Any chance whatsoever?
I'm not having him. I don't have him on there, but you know, I wouldn't mind seeing him stick instead of a guy who hasn't flashed, which would be Marshall.
With Nick Marshall, in your opinion, 25 years old. Does Josh Johnson have any practice squad eligibility? I don't know if he does.
I bet he does because he's been, his last stop was in Canada.
Right. He was with San Diego, signed as a free agent in the offseason in 2013, got waived in August, however, so didn't make the regular season. Didn't, right. Yeah. So maybe he does have some practice squad eligibility. If he does, I would think he would definitely be in that spot. All right, I guess that does it for us today. O'Halloran, safe travels to, for you up to Atlanta. So tomorrow you print your, in the blog, your projected 53. You got one cut to make.
Yeah.
Okay, now bring your 54.
I'll make sure to count.
All right, well, and this weekend, Labor Day weekend, prior to the big NFL opening weekend, what do you got?
We got stuff. We got a lot of stuff. Tomorrow, Brandon Allen's story. Philip Hellman wrote that. And then Sunday, special section, 16-page Jaguar NFL preview. The theme that I carry throughout the section is we know they're different, but does this mean they're actually better at those key positions? So that'll be in there. And then that's Sunday. And then they'll be back on the field Monday afternoon. So then that'll be their first practice with the 53.
And we'll be back in the groove.
It'll be a game week,
yes.
Finally.
Hopefully, we will be coming to you live from Everbank at that point in time at the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studio, which is just about ready to go, I believe, ready for primetime debut kind of thing. So be prepared. The cameras may be rolling.
I heard that. So that applies to Jaguars
that
today as well?
That applies to every program broadcast out of there.
It's like I'm going to have to comb my hair.
Yeah. Yes, he will. Won't take long, folks. All right, there he goes, Ryan O'Halloran. Give him a follow on Twitter if you don't already, at Ryan O'Halloran. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
There he goes. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. We appreciate our friends at Metro Rooter. They bring you the show every Wednesday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. And get ready because the Midday Chalk is straight ahead on 1010XL and 92.5.
You guys have a good day. Peace.